Well, they called me a one-hit wonder, a flash in the pan, better sign on the line while you still can. We'll give you 4 tour buses and a 5-piece band. They'll be shouting your name all over the land. But that ain't me. It ain't what I am. I'm just the son of a free living man. And I still got a roof up over my head, a good hearted woman lying in my bed. Some damn good fellas, they call me a friend. That old double barrel that my granddad did. And if it's the Lord's will, then I will. If it ain't, then I'll.
To What's Appalachian, and this is Gabe Roush with
Cody Greathouse.
And that intro music was by a guy that probably most of you haven't heard yet across the United States of America, Oliver Anthony.
Yeah. Yeah.
he's blown up.
Yep. Out of nowhere.
Yeah. Good on Radio West Virginia for finding this guy. And
it was literally, I would say, about a month ago, typically I tag Gabe in some TikToks of people that I think we should bring on the show, and you know it's worked. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We've had Philip Bone on here. We've had numerous people that I've seen on TikTok, and I'll send them to Gabe, and we'll reach out. And
yeah,
obviously he blew up way too fast for us.
Oh, way too fast. But, way too fast.
You know, I remember sending that to you, which was his first song, Richmond, North of Richmond. And
definitely nobody's heard that yet. Not that it's been like number one on iTunes.
I just hope number one on Billboard. I just hope it wasn't played at like a Republican party, like
presidential debate.
I just, irony of that. Oh my God. But no, I had seen that one night. I'd seen him. If you guys get a chance, it's Appalachian Untold, I think, is what the TikTok that I follow that I'd seen him on.
Was it that or Radio West Virginia?
It wasn't Radio West Virginia. It was, I know it was Appalachian Untold or Appalachian Musicians Untold or something of that sort. Mm. And if you guys hit that up on TikTok, there's a great, great lineup of folks on that TikTok page. There was a 15-year-old that I'd sent you earlier. I think I'm gonna try and reach out to that kid, see if we can get him on here.
Yeah. Well, that's a thing. Like with this, because I've been following Radio West Virginia for a while, and then Appalachian Untold more recently. But like the musicians that they're finding across Appalachia and on the outskirts, just the outskirts. And I understand Oliver Anthony is not in the Appalachia region, but
right.
I think his music speaks to the folks of the region.
It does.
I mean, just class struggle type stuff.
It does.
But Jake Cohn, as I said that?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, he's from like Winchester, Virginia or something like that.
Yeah. 15 years old. You would not think his voice sounds like the way he looks. That sounds terrible for me to say, but like when you look at this dude, like he starts playing it, dude, his voice is so deep.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane.
I know. Like, you're like, damn. That kid's got enough soul for like an 82-year-old. Like,
Lord. but no, I had sent that to Gabe with Oliver Anthony before he had like exploded when I saw him on Appalachian Untold. And it had resonated. I think it really tied into, and you know, I try to reach out to him. Obviously, that's not going to happen because, oh my gosh, I can only imagine how many people have slid up in his DMs, man. Dude,
when we were first talking about him, there were 500 and some odd followers.
Yeah,
like that was the night that that I saw it on Radio West Virginia that they put that out, and then within a day and a half, like he was over 170
when
followers
I sent him that
Instagram.
Message,
that's just Instagram.
When I sent him the message on Instagram, like it was. He was probably around 4,000 followers. Like I was, I thought we found a dime in the rough.
Yeah, we're like
we did with Philip Bone. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I was just like, oh my god, this is gonna be killer. I cannot wait to have this guy on our show. He's gonna blow up. And
then somehow the rest of the country.
I blinked and then boom. I remember the next day, like, I'm seeing him all over TikTok, and I'm like, yeah, we're not getting that guy.
Yeah, and understandably so.
Yeah, no, like, and dude, it's I don't know, man.
It's crazy.
It is crazy, and I tell my students this sometimes, like, in terms of just, you know, you can blow up so quick for the wrong things on the internet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I had this talk with my students the other day of, like, you know, watch what you post online. You know, we have to go through that BS training every year. But, like, I really try to make it sincere with my kids in terms of, like, dude, seriously, like, watch what you post online because it can come back and bite you.
Yeah.
But then again, on the flip side, you see what, you know, Oliver Anthony has accomplished. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
You also have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of, you know, our technology today. Like, a lot of people are, you know, they hate technology and they hate that it makes people lazy and all that. And I get that. Like, I do 100%. Like, but that song, like, you can go viral for the right things too.
Oh yeah.
Does that make sense? Like,
oh, 100%.
And
that's relatable.
He went viral for the right things.
I think, like, so. I know we want to dive in deeper with some other stuff too, just in terms of music throughout Appalachia, but just like this story specifically, I've been shocked but not surprised. I don't know. I've been surprised but not surprised on how it's been received.
Yeah.
Because, like, it depends on how you interpret the music.
It's a tug of war.
Like, you can take this song at face value for what he is writing, because he's pretty straightforward with it. But I've hated to see how folks have tried to, like, play tug of war over this and create a division with it. I don't know if folks kind of see things through different lenses, and I respect that. But, like, I feel like this song was straightforward, just like, hey, like, our representation sucks at the federal level.
I agree.
In my opinion. I mean, state level, too. Yeah. But
we'll skip that.
Yeah, we'll skip all that discussion. And then it's been pulled into the culture war that is the United States of America. And, I mean, it's a part of the culture war, I guess. But the way that it's been just, like, used as a rope in a tug of war has been... Yeah. It blows my mind, because people on the more right, like the conservative side of things, were like, oh, it's a ransom, this and that.
Yeah.
Like, working class, yeah, I get that. But yeah. like we talked about, like, the Republican presidential debate, like, no, like, and he's said, like, I'm talking about those type of people.
Yeah, like I'm talking about you guys.
You can't try to claim this.
It's, like, embarrassing for you guys.
Yeah.
I'm literally making, like, fun of you.
Yeah.
You know, really, like, you were the reason why we're here. And it's not even the right left. And I think, you know, a lot of people listen to our podcast. And you know, when people listen to our podcast, like, it's I guess, I'm trying to think how to word this. You know, the way that he, you know, this song goes, it kind of speaks to you and I, because we are kind of middle of the road. Like,
oh yeah,
it 100%. Is. And we've always said that from the beginning, you know what I mean? From the beginning, when we first started this podcast back in 2020, like, we've said, like, we don't want to be political, but, you know, we are middle of the road.
Yeah. Some things you can't avoid that political.
No, and you can't, discussion. But, you know, so many people who listen to our podcast and be like, oh, you're left leaning and da da da. And it's like,
I guess. If that's what you want to call me, like, I'll take it.
But, you know, even as a junior high teacher, I sit here and I try to tie it back to the kids that I have in class now. And we're sitting in small town West Virginia. And it's like, you know, if I played this song for them, some of my kids would be like just repeating some of the things their parents say.
Yeah. And that's.
And then on the other side of things, they would be repeating some things their parents say. Like, it's middle of the road.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's, the lyrics really do hit home for people like us.
Yeah.
Because I you know, every year I do a unit on the Harlem Renaissance. And obviously, like, a lot of kids don't really know what the Harlem Renaissance is. Like, a lot of kids know what racism is. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's a given. They hear that all the time, especially growing up in today's world. But, like, they don't really understand, like, you know, with the Harlem Renaissance, like, the beauty of the art that was brought to America from black people. Like, it was a beautiful era in the 1920s before the Depression hit. And, and you know, everybody wants to, you know, jump on this bandwagon of that's racist and da da da, but like they don't know what racism is and they don't know what this stuff is. But, you know, I always try to cut that short. I'm not trying to jump on this racist bandwagon. I'm just saying, like, I always try to cut that short. And I always tell the kids, like, think of today's world. And I always try to, everything I teach, I try to relay back to today's world, and I try to tell them, like, think of today's world. Like, what do people look at you as? Not necessarily as white, black, gay, straight, whatever. What do people look at you as? As someone coming from West Virginia?
Oh yeah, I mean we're
poor. Yeah, that's the first thing I get from kids. We're poor. You know, we're uneducated. Blah blah blah. That's what I always get from kids, and it's like so. The thing I try to spin on them is that's a stereotype. You know what I mean? And it's not black and white. And that's why I try to tell them, like, it's not black and white. It's not even like, you know, fat, skinny. It's not gay, straight. It's rich and poor.
I feel like a lot of our struggle.
What that song hits on it. And like, when I talk to these kids, I'm sitting here thinking, like, I'm rewinding it back to what I said earlier. Like, people are repeating what their parents say. Okay, let's go back to what your parents say. They hate taxes. They hate all this stuff. They hate, you know, they hate America. And I'm not saying they hate America, but I'm saying they hate today's society. Like, maybe some people are cheating the system in terms of, you know, buying fudge rounds and all this stuff. Like, maybe some people are cheating the system of, you know, stealing money from the government, you know, but at the end of the day, it's a battle between rich and poor, and a lot of people are blinded by mainstream media.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and agreed.
But I think as a teacher, you know, that's one thing I try to teach my kids is like, guys, it's not, even though mainstream media tries to make it seem like it's black, white, I'm not saying that's not an issue because it most certainly is. In my opinion, it is. But
there's so many nuances.
God, it's rich and poor. Like, man, middle class is the one that's harassed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we can sit here and we can say we're middle of the road, and we are. Because if I'm going to ask, I would say the majority of the people that listen to our podcast are middle of the road.
Yeah. I'd say a fair majority of the folks are middle of the road, maybe lean left, maybe a little right.
But
I mean, but either way, like, that's still the center lane.
It is. It is. And the thing is, like, I remember bringing this up one time, and somebody that I talked to was just like, you know, a coworker of mine was like, there's no such thing as the middle. I'm like, no, but there is, because I'm here.
There are just people that don't want us, they don't want to act like that thought process.
But it's frustrating, you know, to me.
That's our society right now.
And, you know, again, it goes back to what Oliver Anthony was saying, like, everything he sings about in that song, I'm not saying that one song, because if everybody did listen to Oliver Anthony and you did follow his YouTube page and,
like, you learn a little about him and his other songs.
Yes, you listen to him, you listen to him speak and all these things. Like,
he's singing about working class people,
literally.
Like, the struggle of the working class.
You think the ones that have been crapped on.
And the working poor.
Yeah.
Like, and
that's a great point.
And I mean, he addressed that, like, yeah, he talked about obese, like, taking advantage of welfare or whatever. But he referenced where kids in Richmond, and we see this. We see this in West Virginia, across the state, where kids will go hungry through the summer months because their parents either can't afford to feed them well or don't feed them well. Yeah. And then we have these health crises and the highest population of obesity or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, whereas our government is essentially subsidizing snack food companies.
Yeah.
Rather than subsidizing, you know, maybe local farmers to better produce it. Either way, I don't know. I don't know how far we
keep going. You're on the right track.
I know, but I don't know how far I want to go down that rabbit hole, because, like, what I was, like, you talked about Harlem Renaissance, and I wonder if right now, and I don't know how long this will last, like, are we seeing a bit of an Appalachian renaissance in terms of music?
Preach it.
Of what people, the stories folks in our region are trying to tell and address this, like, class struggle.
Yeah.
This working poor, working middle class versus that top 1% that people, like, it's the almighty in the sky almost to some people. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean,
it's like, are we facing this? And then I think we finally have, thanks to social media, an outlet like Radio West Virginia. And, like, we're not depending on radio executives or record executives to make decisions on stuff. Like, this is straight up, this is grassroots movement.
Yeah.
And they're, like, I'm talking about musicians like, I mean, yes, Oliver Anthony, but, like, Nolan Taylor.
Yeah.
Like, his song 68, like, dude, killer song.
Yeah.
These guys are bringing in musicians from, really, Eastern Kentucky. Let's talk about Country Music Highway in Appalachia.
Yeah.
The musicians that's put out. More recently, the higher profile is Tyler Childers.
Yeah.
And what he's doing with music is, number one, beautiful.
Of course.
Like, he's probably my favorite artist of all time.
Down, yeah.
And then what he does in terms of representing Appalachia musically, culturally, and showing that it's just not a monolithic area in the United States through his music, by his like, what was it? Take My Hounds to Heaven, that album. And then he's got another one, Rustin' in the Rain, that's coming up, I think, in the next week or two. And I'm really excited about that because, like, he's a master storyteller.
Oh, of course,
But you see all of these musicians coming through the region of Appalachia, and they're gaining so much notoriety. Like Charles Wesley Godwin, for example. He's from Morgantown, West Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
He's been touring with Zach Bryan. Mm-hmm. He's about to tour next summer with Luke Bryan. No, not Luke Bryan. Luke Combs, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So, like, that's radio country, whatever, but here we have Charles Wesley Godwin, who is a fantastic storyteller, again, and a West Virginia guy from Appalachia, grassroots, like, started from the bottom, grinded his way up through.
No,
and again, he was featured on Radio West Virginia.
Yeah, he was. You know, one thing that strikes me is, as you spoke, and, you know, our podcast usually is just off the cuff.
We'll
just drink beer and talk like it's
drink a beer and listen to country music. What?
Oh, my God, I hate it. Like, one thing that you had said is, like, there is a renaissance happening in the Appalachian region. And, like, the one thing that I always tell my kids when I teach the Harlem Renaissance is, like, is a revival.
Yeah.
It's a revival. It's a revival of art. It's a revival of, you know, music, everything like that. And like, kids are crazy. Like, they go nuts when I do this unit because I tell people for the first time in American history, white people were going into clubs listening to black people up on the stage do, you know, play jazz music.
Yeah.
And like, kids are like, oh my gosh, like, you know, we're in the midst of, you know, we're not that far off from slavery, really, in the 1920s.
No.
You know what I mean? You're probably, how many years? I was going to say 50
years.
60. Like, yeah. And you have white people packing clubs like the Cotton Club up in Harlem, like listening to black people play music because they have rhythm and soul and these things. And it's like, here we are in the year 2023. And you know, I'm adamant about the aspect of, you know, history repeats itself. And I'm not saying that it's repeating itself in terms of, like, black, white. It's the arts are speaking volumes for people that are suffering or going through things. And here we are listening to Oliver Anthony. And, you know, we can make this episode all about Oliver Anthony that we want, but, like, Tyler Childers is the same. You know what I mean?
It's not the same story,
Appalachian,
but it's a story.
Appalachian music is starting to explode.
Yeah.
And we're hitting a moment now to where, for the first time that I feel in music history, to where all eyes are on Appalachia, on these young people.
Agreed.
Telling their own stories. It's not, I'm not trying to, like, go back, but, like, my childhood, like, I remember my parents, like, they would listen to, like, the rap music that I was that I would listen to, and they'd just be like, oh my gosh, like, all they do is cuss and da da da. But it's like, if you really break it down, you really break down the verbiage, like, they're telling a story.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, they're telling a story, like Tupac, Biggie, all these people, like, they're telling a real life story, and like, they're not making stuff up on in terms of like murders and seeing like gang violence and all this stuff. Like, they're telling a story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, here we are again with music leading the way of telling a story. This dude is telling a story of real life. You know what I mean? It's crazy to me that here we are, people want to tune in now because it's the hot thing now.
Yeah, and I think it's the hot thing because it's relatable. I mean, it obviously it's relatable because it strikes such a chord. It's not just beer pickup trucks and a girl in shorts and country music that you hear on 99.5.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That this is stuff that's actually coming from small towns across our region of people that have legitimate tough stories in life.
Yeah.
And they're putting that into an art form that people can latch onto and relate to because maybe they've been going through that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's been a long time since we've seen that, at least from our area, if ever. But it's been really fun to watch for these past, like, really past, like, 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
For me, because it wasn't on the forefront that it is now, that since Radio West Virginia put Oliver Anthony out there. But it's been happening because he's not the first one to really take off. Like, but Nolan Taylor was one that really took off. I mean, not quite to this scale where it was, like, literally on the front page of everything.
Yeah.
But it took off, and he has a great story. And I don't even know, really. I think he's from, like, Lexington. But either way, like, it's a music and it's a sound that is so tightly related to the Appalachian region that it's hard not to consider it an Appalachian style of country music.
Yeah. Well, again, like, I'm going back to what you said, it just happened because it just happened. Like,
because, like that's
when you said the Appalachian Renaissance, like, that struck with me.
I mean, like, I think we're seeing something like that.
And you think, like, back in the day, like, folk songs and all this stuff, like, the Appalachian region made that hot. You know what I mean? Like, but now it's a different realm. We have tapped into something that is, to me, is dangerous because it dares politicians to take a step in our direction. Like,
I dare you to challenging that status quo.
I dare you to challenge, like, you're up on stage, you know, again, Oliver Anthony's song was played, and none of those people,
they can't relate to that.
None.
Like, what do you think, go to this, the left or the right?
Like, none of them they could don't. Ever.
When you're on ever. That level, you can't relate.
Unless it was you or I on a podium up there. None of them could ever relate to what we see.
My dad in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Shut up. No. Like, get away from me with that.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining.
Yeah.
And that's realistically, I think everybody knows that's what it is when it comes to that level of federal government.
Yeah, you're right. But again, it man, you came up with it. It was the Appalachian, like, Renaissance. That is one thing that strikes me in this episode. And, you know, again, we haven't talked about this at all. I mean, we kind of discussed, like, before we go into it what we're going to talk about.
Well, I'll tell you how
we dig deeper.
This episode was like, hey, Cody, let's listen to six beers worth of just Appalachian country music, and let's make an episode.
Yeah.
So here we are. Here we are. Mm-hmm. Which it worked out well that the success of Oliver Anthony's song and everything, it makes it more relevant, but at the same time, like, it's been relevant.
Yeah.
Like, dude, and this is what I love about Tyler Childers. Tyler Childers, Eastern Kentucky guy, right? Fantastic musician. The dude can write a story, write a song like nobody else.
Yeah.
Okay. The guy from an area that's like traditionally a conservative area, like, he's not afraid to push that envelope with social issues.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, during 2020, like, we saw a lot of, like, racial injustice issues going on. I mean, George Floyd, and that issue and many, many more.
It exploded, yeah.
And he put out an album during COVID, Long Violent History. And like which was a beautiful album.
I agree.
With violin that he was playing stuff. And then the title track was Long Violent History. Put that out. Man, what a proper timing. And then this album, Rust in the Rain, like, got a beautiful love song. Yep. Man, I'm looking forward to this album kind of being like a 90s style country song album. I don't know yet.
Yep.
But the love song, In Your Love, which he's had in his pocket for a while.
Yep. Oh, you have to.
He's had that in his pocket for a while.
Yeah.
And then put out a video. Which featured and I dare say that most folks know people that live in our region that have lived this life, just about a couple blue collar guys that just happen to love each other.
Yep.
To me there's nothing wrong with that. And I mean that made the crowd explode on one side or the other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
And it started good conversation.
It did.
Was it toxic conversation from some folks?
Of course.
Just like anything.
Yeah,
like
that's going to be any.
Yeah, on either side of any debate. But I love what he's able to do in terms of social conversations with his music.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that's, to me, that is what an artist is.
Yep.
I don't want my artists that I enjoy to be polished and always neutral and stuff. Like, make me think about
something. Tell your story. Yeah, make me break it down.
Like, make me question.
I want to look at your lyrics. I want to, you know, really question things in terms of, you know, your theme or your message that you're trying to get across.
Yeah, like, dude.
I agree. I'm sorry. I'll tell the listeners right now. There's a, one of my favorite poets. Is Langston Hughes. And when the George Floyd things were going on, this was before all this happened. You know, I'd read a couple of his poems when I was in college. And, you know, Langston Hughes was a storyteller, man, in terms of his poetry. And he would always talk about his experiences. You know, as a teenager, like, Langston Hughes showed up in Harlem, New York, and just started writing about things he'd seen, about things he'd experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, like, there are some racial, you know, underlying racial things that he speaks on. But, you know, as time had gone on, he kept writing. And let me look up the name of this poem.
Excuse me.
Let America be America again. Like, I challenge you, if you were questioning America's values or whatever, like, go read that poem.
Yeah.
It's long, but I'm telling you, the dude's perspective when he writes, this was written in like the 1920s, 30s, like, it resonates to today's society, and it's crazy that it hits home. Even now. And you're looking at today's society with, you know, Oliver Anthony songs and Tyler Childers and all these Appalachian, you know, artists.
Yeah.
And dude, it's striking some things.
Oh, for me, sure.
To where I'm like, oh my God, like, man, I hope this blows up. And it has blown my mind that these politicians are like jumping on board. And they're like, hey, you know, the left.
This is our anthem.
This is us. This is what we've been talking about. Like, left's like, yeah, unions. And this is why we fought this fight, man. And then on the right, it's like, yeah. Oh, man. Oliver Anthony, like,
workers.
This is what we're talking about. We need workers.
The workers, like, we exploit.
We hate the fact that people are eating fudge rounds. Like, man. They don't get it.
they don't get it. They're just like, no, like, you're not working our government right, dude.
Yeah, and it's like, like, this song is about you, dude.
And we know it.
You suck.
Yeah.
Whether you're left or right, like, you suck.
Yeah.
Like, you are terrible.
And you know, and it's funny how, like, it's that struggle, and then, like, we have so many artists that take it to every level of the struggle of people of really our region. You know what I mean? Like talking about the addiction, as we know, everybody that's listening knows that our area, really now the United States, deals with this.
Yeah.
And just that struggle, and it's relatable. It's not, we're not singing about rainbows and unicorns. Yeah. Like it's like, it's real stuff. Like not everybody's listening to hip hop country, riding in a squatted Chevy, going, but I don't know. I hate that type of music.
We're not Jelly Roll.
Sorry, Jelly Roll. But no, I think the big thing that I wanted to get out with this is like folks that do appreciate good music, good stories, and something that's relatable to and tells an appropriate and fair story of Appalachia is by listening to the artists that people like I said, Radio West Virginia, that they put out on just about everything, YouTube, Instagram, Appalachian Untold. And then there's a fella actually based out of West Virginia. I don't know if I've talked to you about him before. He has a podcast. He brings in country artists all the time. W.B. Walker's old soul radio show. Okay, so like this guy has had almost anybody that has become pretty damn prominent in country music.
We get him on the show?
We reach out. I don't know.
We'll try to reach out.
Big time. I'm talking like this guy found Coulter Wall before Coulter Wall was Coulter Wall. You know what I mean?
We can't get him on the show. So
anyway. We can give him a shot. We can be like,
send a message. Send a message.
Hey, W.B. Walker.
But I think, and I don't mean to cut you off, but it goes back to what we've asked every single guest on this show. Our listeners, you go back to every episode we've brought people onto this show, and we ask them, what does Appalachia mean to you? Yeah. Or you know, what is Appalachia to you?
Yeah, like, and you listen to these artists that we're talking about, and there's a plethora that we haven't, like, and it's not the same area. Yeah, it's home, but it's also struggle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's overcoming struggle, too.
And it's overcoming struggle.
It's both sides of the spectrum there. It's you know.
And it is dark and as tough it is for people to go through that, to listen to their version of it is oddly beautiful.
It is.
In the art form that they put out.
Well, I think it means a lot to, and I'm not trying to, like, single out West Virginia out of Appalachia. Like, it means a lot to people from West Virginia because, like,
we are Appalachia.
You look at
what we have
fought against. You want to go back to the Cold Wars and you want to go back to that. Like, you're talking about people that have literally fought for, again, it goes back to rich and poor.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are in 2023. We're talking rich and poor. It's not necessarily coal miners literally forming their own militia to fight against the U.S. government. and big business and corporation, it's literally like, here we are.
Whose side are you on?
Again, let's go back to what I said previously. History repeats itself, and here we are again. You know what I mean? And it's rich versus poor. That's what it's always been, not only in West Virginia history, but American history.
Yeah.
You want to look at Britain and what they taxed us with and what they, you know, what they had done in terms of, you know, in the Revolutionary War, we had to fight for what we had. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we did that. And again, history repeats itself. We go in, we flip some tea in a harbor and it all flips. You know what I mean? Like, we just, it's crazy in terms of what we have been through, not only as Americans, but as Appalachians. And I'm not saying like the Boston Tea Party was Appalachian That's related, but I'm just saying, like, Americans as a whole, why are we split so bad right now over stupid issues in terms of, you know, sexuality and white and black and all these things? Like, why are we focused on these things?
Why are we arguing about songs?
Why are we arguing over
when there are people that are, there are ways to help people.
Yeah.
Well, that we could let's debate that.
Yeah. How are you going to help us?
Yeah.
I would love for that to be presented in both, you know, the Democratic and the Republican.
You're going nowhere with that, man.
I know. How are you going to help us?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is it's going to come out like a soapbox preacher.
Introducing Oliver Anthony.
And he's going to be like, F you guys.
Yeah, he's going to walk out of the middle finger.
I just, man.
Where's my mind? Yeah.
And the coolest thing is, you know, out of this whole situation is like, Oliver Anthony's turned down tons of money.
Yeah, that's not what he's
you guys it. Heard in our intro song, like
that's not him
that he's working on. Like he just wants to write music.
Wait a second here. Are you telling me that you can do things that you love just mm-hmm. because you love them, not to make money?
You can.
How un-American is it it's to crazy. Not exploit yourself?
It's crazy.
To make money.
Yeah.
Shame on that unpatriotic jerk for not exploiting himself.
He's terrible. I wish he would have been paid millions.
Are you're telling me that you make art for the love of making art, for the love of making music, not to get rich? I mean, also too, he's probably making like four. Well, actually, I read that he's likely making around 40 grand a day just on like streaming the royalties. Which I mean, heck.
But I heard he's burning it.
Take your dollars and shove it. But it's to me, and don't get me wrong, I love old school outlaw country. Mm-hmm. Like I'm talking Merle Haggard, Waylon Jennings.
Oh, I love Merle.
All like Johnny Cash, all those guys that, you know what? They did grow up in struggle.
Yeah.
Became huge in the 70s, 80s. I mean, they're legends. You know what I mean?
Of course, yeah.
But like to me, this is real outlaw stuff. Like the stuff that we're getting out of the hills and hollers of Appalachia right now.
Yeah.
That's coming across. We don't even have to depend on radio anymore. Mm-mm. How amazing is that? I don't have to depend on what that a radio executive tells me I have to listen to.
We're going down a rabbit hole here.
I get to go online and I guess that's a perk that of the
crazy.
Algorithm.
Yeah, that is
as much as I hate the algorithms. And they're just like, oh, well, you'll like this.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, oh, okay. Oh, thank you, Spotify streaming that is service. Bad,
yeah.
Like, I don't have don't to have depend to on. To
what, yeah.
Yeah, they're not telling me who I have to like.
That is neat.
I mean, and if you think about it, like artists like Zach Bryant, like they thrive on that. Yeah. They're independent artists for the most part.
Never really
part.
Thought of that.
Like, you're just like, F you, man. This is my music.
Keep going, dude.
And I wish that more artists were able to like take off like that because I'm sure they deserve it.
Yeah.
But the ones that have that I've really latched onto, like, yeah, man,
yeah.
F the system.
Yeah.
Like they don't need that system anymore.
No.
With the technology that we have. Hell, to make good music, apparently all you need is an iPhone.
That's it.
And if it's good enough, and if it. It
and a microphone that clips on your lapel.
And RCA Records didn't tell me I had to like it.
Wow. Yeah. That's a great point.
Because Appalachia.
Yeah.
I really can't. Appalachia can't really take credit for all that. But I'm going to say it. Because Appalachia.
Yeah.
Appalachian Renaissance.
Dude, you hit the nail on the head with that. I'm not lying.
Just like in music. I mean, maybe I'm.
No. There's no maybe. But. You hit the nail on the head. It's a revival.
It's a revival.
I'm just telling you, it's a revival.
Like a tent revival. Like no. we're like that
not a religious
Free Will revival. Baptist pastor just comes in and is like, and the Lord's head on us have a day.
I'm talking about
a revival. We will rest and listen to Tyler Childers for the rest of the daylight of the day.
I'm talking about a revival like snakes biting me.
Oh shoot. I mean it's not what I subscribe to, but to each their own. Liberty, religious freedoms.
Well, I do what I want. Copperheads.
Copperhead Road?
Jesus. Praise Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Guys, you got to listen to Gabe and I rant for 38 minutes about music.
Yeah.
We are very thankful that we stumbled upon Oliver Anthony.
Yeah, thankful for him. I'm thankful for
not even all
not just him. It's like everybody else that I have found.
Appalachian musicians, you keep doing what you're doing.
Please, it keeps people like us rolling.
And I hope that we get a chance to sit down and chat one day, in terms of the message that you're sending. And we just get to be a small microcosm of the story that you're trying to tell. And we hope that, we get to tell your story and do things. Guys, we love you, and we appreciate the things that you're doing for our, not only our community, but for our
section, for our region, and what you're going to end up being doing for the rest of the United States.
You're leaving your impact.
Cheers to you guys. We'll drink one for you tonight.
Yep.
Cheers, 100%. Man.
Clank it. Love y'all.
Love you.
This is Cody Greyhouse signing off with my main man,
Gabe Roush.
You cut the exit music really short.
Sorry.
All right. Later. Love y'all.
Bye.